670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now, here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, it's 8:38, and on Bronco Tuesday, we have BSU Gymnastics in the house. Neil Resnick is here, co-coach, along with Alex Esmerian, a senior gymnast from Auburn, California. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, why don't we talk about your last 2 weeks? You guys are heading to Athens, Georgia, and then less than a week later, heading to Seattle, Washington to face two powerhouses, Georgia and Washington. Coach, you decided to really schedule up the last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, I think it bodes well, prepares us for postseason play, and we wanted two tough ones at the end of the year.
So tell us what you are looking for out of your gymnasts as we come in. Shaney Remy is a name that I think a lot of people listening might know. She seems to be gymnast of the week in the Mountain Rim Conference all the time as somebody that has gone to the NCAA. So besides her, tell us about some of the others that are doing well right now.
I'll touch on Shaney just a little bit because what she's doing is absolutely unheard of. Seven times conference athlete of the week. The level of consistency and the scores that she's putting out are certainly Bronco history. So it does start with her, and then our senior class has just been amazing. Our two captains, Sandra Quantes and Ann Stockwell, amazing leadership, the best kind of leadership, through example. Hard workers, great academics, and they're leading this team.
You scored a 196.725 against Sacramento the other night, one of your top scores of the year. Are you just peaking right now?
Absolutely not. I really was somewhat disappointed in the score, in the sense that we left a lot of points on the floor. We didn't land particularly well, only two landings out of the three events, and I think we got a lot more than that in us. So this last 2 days of practice have been so really tough. We focused on those landings, and we hope to do better than that at Georgia.
Now, Alex, I understand you're on the beam, and that's your specialty, and that you've got some special routines that have allowed you to score some 9.9. So tell us, if we were at the meet coming up on Friday, you're going to be back in the lineup. I guess you've missed one or two by injury. What will we see?
You'll see a bunch of flips and a bunch of cool stuff. But I remember last year at Alabama, which is probably going to be a similar crowd to Georgia, a lot of people were there, and I think the team just feeds off the energy, honestly, because we don't get that, like, anything compared to that amount of fans here at Boise. But when we go to a big crowd in a big school, it kind of fuels our fire, and it makes us perform at a different level, and I'm really excited, especially on beam. It really helps us kind of show off our routines, and the pressure, honestly, makes us do better, I think.
So why are you a beam expert? Like, I know different gymnasts have different ones, but why does the beam work for you?
I don't know. I've just always loved it. I think a lot of people are scared of the beam, and a lot of people tend to be more powerful gymnasts and go with floor and vault, but I've just always loved it. I mean, it still makes me nervous to this day after doing it for 15 years, but it's just the most rewarding feeling when you hit a good routine, and I think I've really progressed on beam since even my freshman year here.
How does a gymnast from Auburn, California get to Boise? How did you hear about the Broncos? How were you recruited, and how did you arrive here?
So I was recruited my junior year by Neil's wife, Patty. So thanks, Patty. But she's kind of the beam queen and the beam specialist. And then I didn't really know anything about Boise. I didn't honestly know anything about Idaho other than potatoes, and so I came and gave it a shot and visited, and I just fell in love with the school, the town, just the atmosphere. It's just super safe, and it just is a friendly place to be, and honestly, I committed because of Neil and the coaching staff. I just really liked it.
So Neil, why is she good?
The kicker that loves that moment to win the game, you know, and everybody stays away from him, and they go out there, and they're calm, cool, and collected, and they just get it done. And the bigger the moment, the better they are. That's Alex. Mm-hmm. She's had some amazing moments. And I'll go back to Alabama. It was, I think, one of her first performances in a pressure situation. You know, 14,000 screaming fans, and she just got up there and probably did the best routine she'd ever done. And that's an amazing gift to be able to do that.
Kickers, high jumpers, and beam specialists.
Yeah.
Stay away.
So, Alex, as the team moves into the conference championships and you get to the NCAA championships, you've been around the team, on the team for the last couple. What's different about a meet when you've got multiple teams there and, you know, it's sort of moving on versus, I mean, not to say that there's not a lot of pressure for a head-to-head match with Georgia and Washington, but what's different as you get to the end of the season?
I think there's a lot of pressure on the conference champion, especially being three-time champions the past 3 years we've won. And I think this year we have a good competition. BYU is looking really good. Southern Utah is always good. Utah State's a competitor. And I think our team is just really connected this year, and we're all on board. We all have the same vision, and we know what we need to do, and we know we need to improve. But I think conference is just a good stepping stone to the big meet regionals. So I think we kind of feed off the pressure a little bit, and we get fired up. And when there's more teams and more fans, it's definitely a good environment.
A lot of seniors doesn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah. And they all are contributing this year. It's a great, great team. And the senior class is really strong this year.
You know, interestingly enough, that senior class, when they were freshmen, there was one routine amongst the whole bunch of them that made the lineup. And now they make up almost half our lineups.
Nice.
But is that par for the course here? You bring people in and they work their way up, they get more and more the older they get?
It does happen that way, but not like this. This has just been an amazing progression.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to some of the leaders, Sandra came on crutches. She was hurt when she got here and redshirted her first year, and now she's a 3-4 event contributor. The class has just grown amazingly. It's really a very special group.
We're talking with BSU Gymnastics. Alex Asmarian is here along with Coach Neil Resnick. It's 8:45.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back with Boise State gymnast Neil Resnick is the coach. Alex Asmarian is the beam expert. And also, do you still do floor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to compete floor for the first time this year, and I got a 9.9, so that was really special.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so unfortunately I did have a little injury, so I'm focusing on beam right now.
When you do the floor, how much do you get to decide, like, what you're doing? Because a lot of times, you know, you hear different musics, different presentations. Mm-hmm. So what's yours?
So my routine is a mix between a tango and a disco, which may sound very odd, but Patty made it work. Patty kind of is the main decider on the music and the dance, and so what she says goes, and it always turns out really fun and good, and it's nice to share our personality on the floor a little bit.
How much does that matter, Coach, as far as, like, she says personality? Because when you go to the meets, you have a wide range. I mean, especially when you have multiple teams there, and you probably have, you know, as many as maybe 20 that are doing it, it's a big difference from the different music, the different style, what you get to see.
I think judges are human, at least sometimes, and they're affected. They're affected by the emotions of the crowd and the emotion of the athlete on the floor. And when the athlete has a floor routine that they love and they present it that way with emotion, they make good eye contact, and it's a performance then, and that affects scoring.
Do you change up during the year, or basically do you get one routine and just polish that apple throughout the year and stay with basically the same thing?
At least you hope you do. You know, occasionally we've had a skill that is close to being in the routine, and as the season progresses, we do a little more work on it, and we may add something. We may add a more difficult skill, but for the most part, the routines stay the same.
Alex, do you have to do certain things, like on the beam? Are there certain moves that are, like, compulsories? I think when we heard this winter from the figure skating and others that you can either do or not do, and how do you decide what to put in?
Yeah, so every routine starts at a 9.5, and you have to get bonus. And so you do that by connecting skills or doing harder skills. And so every skill has a value between A and E. And so if you do a C skill, you get like 0.1 bonus. And then so you're at a 9.6. And you have to work your way up to a 10.0. And so that's why you'll see us doing different connections, like jump connections, or we'll go forward and backwards on the beam. So that's required. And you also have to have a certain level of difficulty in your routine.
Wow, I didn't even know some of that stuff.
Coach, anybody gotten a 10 this year? Because it seemed like a long time ago, 10s were pretty easy to get. But now every time I've gone, you know, 9.9 seems to be about the best you can get.
Yeah, the standard of performance has gotten higher and higher. The demands, the training of the judges, and it's relatively rare.
See, my routine on a beam would be getting at one end and walking to the other end and jumping off.
Yeah, and I would hope I could do that.
Yeah. And what would that be, a 9.5?
Somewhere.
If I did
there.
It with some grace,
yeah, some pizzazz.
Fluidity,
I would consider not getting hurt a victory.
Yeah. 8.5. Okay, good. Thanks. See you.
It's amazing when you go to something, people like Alex, they make it look so easy.
I know.
Isn't it? I mean,
That's the art of the sport, yeah. To make something really difficult look easy and something easy look really difficult.
All right, guys, we've been talking with women's gymnastics. Two big meets coming up to keep you busy the next couple of weeks. Good luck in those, and good luck in the conference.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And then the NCAA comes after the conference?
We get a one-week down, which will be our first break in 13 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that'll help us get prepared for regionals, and can't wait for that competition. That's what we've been training for. Conference and regionals is the crux of our season. That's what we've been training for.
2 weekends of the NCAA, there's the regionals and then the final weekend?
That's correct.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys. KBOI News Time, 8:51.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Let's go through a very busy schedule on the Cumulus stations as far as basketball playoffs go, and it all gets underway today.
Yeah, it does. The women's tournament for Boise State starts today. Yesterday, there were the first-round matches in the women's tournament down in Las Vegas, but today, Boise State women will be taking on Air Force. It'll be a 1 o'clock start. Chris Lewis will have the call over on AM 1350. Then Wednesday, if they get by Air Force, and they should, Air Force seeded 8th, Boise State regular season co-champs. It'll be Boise State against the winner of Fresno State and Colorado State. That game would take place tomorrow night at 7:30 Mountain Time. Men will get going on Thursday, and they will have to wait to see who they play. Wednesday, Utah State will be facing Colorado State. With the winner playing Boise State, we'll have the game for you at 6:30 on Thursday night. And if you want to mark your calendar down, a win against that matchup will take the Broncos to the 9:30 game on Friday night against probably either New Mexico or Wyoming. I don't see San Jose fighting their way through there. And then the championship game is going to be a quick turnaround. 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock mountain tip, and I would guess it would either be Nevada, San Diego, or Fresno coming from the other side of the bracket.
Boy, you listen to this, it'd be hard if you didn't get a bye. I mean, you got 4 games in 4 days.
Yeah, and I think 3 games in 3 days is going to be tough.
That's
as
tough
well.
Enough, yeah.
You know, I'm looking at Nevada. Mm-hmm. Boise State have been the most consistent teams, home and away.
Right.
San Diego State right now is the hottest team. They've won 5 games in a row. And it looks like they're healthy, and it looks like, you know, they had talent early in the season, and then when their point guard Trey Kell was hurt, missed 3 games, they kind of took a little bit of a nosedive.
And they've beaten both Boise State and Nevada.
They have. They beat Nevada to close the season that got them to the other side of the bracket to get them a bye. New Mexico, to me, is a team that's overachieved all season. They're the third seed. Boise State very likely could see them on Friday. Broncos beat them easily here and then had to come from behind to beat them there. Wyoming, who the folks saw Saturday here, have two of the best scorers in the league in James and Dalton. I don't think their depth is as good as some of the other teams in the conference. So there's going to be a lot of different games. And then UNLV has lost 5 in a row and has looked bad. But to me, the thing that's scary about UNLV, and they're on the other side of the draw, if they beat Air Force, they'll have to face Nevada, is that they've got talent. If they play their A game might be as good or better than anybody's in the league. But unfortunately for them, they've played a lot of D games throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, and they are at home, more or less.
you know, the different floor, and when you come in there, they do a nice job of like covering the UNLV stuff inside the arena, not in the, you know, the foyers and the, you know, in the outside part, but in the inside part. They do the best they can. I think it would be ideal. You know, there's a ton of different arenas in Las Vegas. If the league was willing to pony up, you know, and play it at one of the other arenas, I think everybody would be fine with playing the game in Vegas. I think some of them kind of get a little squeamish having it at UNLV, but since the Broncos have been in the league, they've never won. UNLV has never won. Boise State looking for their first Mountain West championship, by the way.
True.
Women have won two of the last three.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm the last one to win a tournament. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Then we went to Birmingham and faced Louisville. And that, as they say, was that. All right. Thanks, Bob. We'll be looking forward to it starting 1 o'clock this afternoon with the BSU women. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hey, top of the morning, 9:06. Paul J. along with... you're not Chris Walton.
Nope. No, I'm not. Nope. Nate Shelman, how you doing?
Nate Shelman, good to meet you.
Rush Chairman, damn glad to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Rush Chairman.
Remember
those days? No.
Okay, by the way, speaking of Rush, because you were on record yesterday, was it around this time or at the end of the show? You were on record. We have the video. We have the audio. If somebody calls into Rush and gets their call heard on Rush,
right,
you get a pizza from Idaho Pizza Company.
Right.
And Paul J's putting an extra one on top.
I'm
going to
throw another pizza in there.
Specialty pizza. That's two pizzas.
These are good ones, too. These aren't your $5 walk in the door, pick them up, and, you know, take them home and use them for door stops. Those aren't those pizzas.
Throw the pizza away and eat the box. No, it's not that place. No. But we did have, I think it was Cynthia. Cynthia called in,
mm-hmm.
2:55 yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and got on Savage.
Ooh.
So she gets a pizza from Idaho Pizza Company.
I'm only for Rush.
This is going for the next 3 weeks. You have 5 hours to call these shows. So all the directions are on 670kboi.com.
So we'll feed you for listening to us.
No, we feed you if you call into the national shows.
Well, yeah. They have to listen to us to hear that.
We can't feed everybody for listening
to
us.
No.
No, I've seen the numbers. We can't afford that.
No.
How many times have you flown first class?
Several. I tell you, my wife is a genius with miles and stuff, and she flies a lot.
Okay.
So we get upgraded a lot.
Okay. So you don't pay the first class?
No.
You fly
big. Come on. Listen,
there are people that like to pay it. I've never paid to fly first class. Not my own money.
Anyway. I might have unknowingly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
But my wife loves to fly first class, and I like it too.
I feel bad. The second time I flew first class, I didn't have anything to eat or drink. I just slept. I mean, it was the seat was so large.
Had room.
Yes. It was
That's
so large.
Like. Yeah.
Now, the first time I did, I was like, well, how much, you know, they charge everybody else for alcohol, but in first class, well, you already paid $1,000 for the ticket. Here, have a glass of wine on us. Mm-hmm. Why not have the bottle? Here you go. Your seat was $1,500. Here's a little $10 trinket.
Yeah.
Thank you. I can't imagine sitting in first class and having a lady before the plane takes off, which is something I do, by the way. You do that quick little scan.
You do. You look around.
All right. Who do I need to look out for? All right. That guy. That guy looks a little sketch. Wearing the Bronco stuff and the Green Bay stuff. All right. He might put up a fight. What about this guy? What about this guy over here? He's knocked a few people out in his day.
Yeah.
All right. He'll be tough. What about her? I could take
likes her. Likes to fight guy. Nah.
Here's another woman over here. Already causing mischief before the plane takes off.
Yes.
Plane gets up in the air, and she has some kind of manic attack.
Yes.
Gets up from her seat and tries to open the door to the plane.
In flight.
I am God.
Every single first class passenger thinks they're God. Okay, they're sitting in first class.
Nah.
All right.
But she did.
She God had all the data. She had no data. We already landed in Boise 15 minutes ago. The plane's still in
the air.
The
plane's still up in the air.
Right. This woman...
Why are we staying on the plane when we landed 15 minutes ago?
Right.
Look out the window. We're still up in the air.
She was taken into custody, and she's in the custody of the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare.
Mm-hmm.
She was taken in for medical evaluation. And I wrestle with myself mostly, not everybody else. I wrestle with my own conscience all the time. Because I'm tired of putting up with everybody else's BS.
Mm-hmm.
But there are sick people out there. Okay? There are people who are breaking the law because they're stupid. And there are sick people out there.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, and I'm no psychologist, I'm no psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
She's not normal. She wasn't in her right mind. Should she be charged with a crime? Should she be charged with violating some federal, I'm sure there's some federal law, don't try to open the plane door while the plane is in the air.
Well, you're not, even causing any kind of ruckus on an airplane
right.
is a felony.
Yeah, if I can't smoke in the bathrooms,
yeah,
she shouldn't be able to go and try to open up the door.
No.
But maybe she was off her meds. Maybe she drank something that interacted with her meds. She was flying in from San Francisco.
If you are on the plane at the same time she is, and she is doing this, you don't care.
Right. Right. You just don't want her to open up the plane.
Bingo.
That's it.
And
That's
you will do anything in your power to put a stop to her craziness.
Okay. Now that she's off the plane, and everyone's fine. Everyone made it. They're all talking to the press. They're sharing their cell phone videos. Everyone's cool. She's still in the loony bin, but do you charge her with a crime? Or do you get her help?
Well, we are a forgiving country, I'm sure. We give her help.
I'm not asking them, I'm asking you.
Now, she raised somewhat of a ruckus before the plane took off.
Yeah.
Booed her butt off the plane then.
Can't do that anymore.
Yes, you can.
No, United kicked
yes,
one person off a plane, and now nobody gets kicked off the plane.
Here's the deal. Did you see the video from a week ago when that woman, they sat a baby next to her, and she threw an absolute hissy fit
yeah.
because she was sat next to a baby, and she was using the F word and strutting around and throwing stuff around the
mm-hmm.
airplane?
Mm-hmm.
This stewardess came up and said, "You are off my plane."
Yeah, and it took
my... And the woman went, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I just didn't mean it." She said, "No, I'm not flying with you on this plane." They tossed her butt off.
Was she in first class?
Nope.
Okay. This lady was in first class.
Doesn't matter. If there's a crazy person on the plane or a person that even gives the hint of being crazy, get them off. Get them off the damn plane.
208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon wireless phone. 1-800-529-KBOI. Todd said off air, and I agree with him. Banned from flying on planes. No more flying. If you need to go from point A to point B, there are roads
Enjoy
between here.
Enjoy the train.
Yeah, there are roads between here and San Francisco. I've driven them many times.
Me too.
Yeah, you go, if you can survive Donner Pass, you're fine. You're good to go. There's the train. There's Greyhound. Okay, you can get on the bus. And she'll be around like-minded people. So she'll be able to enjoy herself the entire time. She won't have to worry about... If she wants to open up the door on a Greyhound bus, it's not going to implode.
She might fall out.
Yeah.
But nobody else going with her.
Exactly. I just want to know, do you charge her with a crime? Do you charge her with breaking federal law? Or do you, in your heart, say... all right, get back. Just go talk to somebody. Go get some pills. You know, maybe stay away from the microwave so much.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
She broke the law.
She did.
And that's the law. The law is only as good as the enforcement of the law.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this woman needs 5 years in jail. I think she needs probation. I think she needs serious medical mental help.
And she needs never... to fly again.
208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon wireless phone. If you were on that plane, what kind of justice would you want to see? If you were sitting next to her, you want her hung? In the middle of the square? Or does she need help? Does she need more medical attention? Professional help. #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone. You can email me, nate@kboi.com, or email Paul J off the website. Don't email Chris Walton. He's not here.
Not here today.
I'm filling in this week. Your calls when we come back.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
We can laugh about it now. Everybody's fine.
Yeah, everybody made it.
That's why we can laugh about it.
Learn to fly.
I've been in situations, you know, when you're at the when you're at a game. I remember one of the, I was at an A's game in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
They're nuts, by the way.
Yeah,
they're the only ones.
Are nuts.
They're the only ones I've seen tailgate for a baseball game. So yeah, it's not bad. You're not going to see the team play, but they almost have it like the Caldwell Night Rodeo, where you have the rowdy section and you have the family section. That's how they have it at the Coliseum. You know, there are family sections and rowdy sections, and rowdy by Canyon County standards are tame by Oakland, California standards.
No question.
And if you've had to sit around those people, say, okay, yeah, I got to put up with this jerk the entire flight. I got to put up with this jerk the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Versus they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
One or two of us is leaving. Either you kick them off the plane or you pay for me to go on a different flight. Okay?
You ever been scared on a plane of another passenger or taken aback by his actions?
Yes, but that's just because they were pompous, not threatening. Just, excuse me, I asked for a beer like 5 minutes ago. No, you didn't, you jerky. You asked about two. No, I mean, that's when you say put off. I wasn't scared. Yeah. You know, there's always, if there's a child on a plane, I am within two rows of that screaming. They have to be screaming. If they're asleep, I'm not seated anywhere near them. I see kids behaving on planes. If they're crying, and I mean screaming their head off, if you take a snapshot of that cabin, I guarantee you if the kid's not sitting right behind me, it's right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But that happens. You don't kick somebody off the plane for a screaming kid.
I was on a plane one time, and as we were taking off,
mm-hmm.
the guy next to me, a kid, maybe 19, 20 years old.
Okay.
Starts rocking.
Oh.
And puts his head in his hands and says, I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry, Mama.
Ding!
I went, you okay, man? Huh? Yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. And then he's in the window seat and he turns and looks out the window. He starts rocking, goes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Scared the hell out of me. I said, well, sorry for what? Sorry for the bomb you've got under the seat? Sorry for what? I could not wait to get off that plane and get away from this crazy
person. Did you get to know the guy or did you ignore him?
Well, I talked to him a little bit.
Yeah?
He was not in the mood for chummy conversation. He did not want to be my best friend.
This woman had a manic episode. She thought she was God. And you have a rule of thumb that you follow when somebody thinks they're God.
Somebody thinks they're God, you got to get them unconscious.
Somebody repeats over and over that they're God.
Mm-hmm.
They probably shouldn't be on the plane.
I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God.
That's the sound as they're basically tying her legs together.
That would... upset me.
Yeah. No, trying to open the door to the plane while the plane is in flight, that would upset me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
208-336-3700. Should she be charged with a crime or should she be mandated medical attention?
Let's go to Mark of Nampa. Mark.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I don't think she should be charged with a crime. She should, go have medical attention. But I'll tell you, when I, you know, about 30 years ago or so, I used to, before I flew, go to the doctor and get two Xanax, one for the trip there and one for the trip back, and then I'd have a couple of drinks on the plane. And that would work wonders. But the only thing that really miffed me is they'd charge $5, the pharmacist. And I'd say, for God's sakes, I can go down to Water Street and buy these from the college kids for 50 cents a piece. What the hell are you doing here? But now, and I hated to hear this or whatnot, because I'm going to be flying again in about a month. But what I keep telling myself is there's 30,000 flights a day. None of them crash. You're irrational. And then that seems to work better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the people on this flight told themselves that too before. But they didn't crash.
No, they didn't crash.
No.
No, but that's the way I've cured that. I still don't like to. I won't take a window seat. And I always hope the person that's got the window seat or whatever it is keeps the shade down.
Wow. Okay, thanks, Mark. So Mark has a game plan.
Very good. It takes three to four tons of pressure to open a plane in flight.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Right? No,
you can't do it.
I'm not that strong.
No,
I don't know. I don't know if crazy was that strong, but it is violation of a federal law to try to open the plane in flight.
God's that strong. Remember that. 9:26.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
Nate Shellman here, filling in for Chris Walton, who is on vacation. Hopefully.
South of Spain, I think.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. South of Spain? It is. It is March. Yeah. He's due to go south of Spain.
I think so.
I get an email here from Michael. Says, morning, men. Let's say, God forbid, the lady was successful in opening the door and people lost their lives. Do we now ban planes? Should we sue the FAA and accuse them of being the problem? This is just another example of the problem being the mental illness, not the inanimate object that kills the people. I tell you what, Michael, I get where you were going for in that comment. I would bet there would be some review of SkyWest or whoever operates that.
It was SkyWest.
Yeah, SkyWest and maybe the FAA. If there's somebody who you think is not travel ready, get them out. Get them out of the plane.
That's my deal. And that's what I said. She acted up before the plane ever took off. Get her butt off the plane. Now.
But should she be charged with a crime for trying to open the door? Having whatever mental manic break she had.
Okay, yes. Here's what I'm going to say. She should be charged with a crime for trying to open the door. Whether or not she is found guilty depends on how things go at the trial.
208-477-15... Sorry.
What?
I was giving out the core group number. 336-3700. 208-336-3700. But if you call the other number, tell Tom Dahlman, Paul Jay, and I said hi.
Hey, we say hey. Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim.
Morning. As far as the lady goes, she should be evaluated and find out, you know, her history. Find out if this maybe is her first flight. She's probably taking on some sort of drug. Could be a prescription. But I've flown a lot. And in the early 70s, I flew all over South America, first class, thanks to Bank of America. And I've never had a bad experience. Now, I would like to say a few words as to the glory of flight. Now, the one guy said he wouldn't sit at a window seat and would hope that the guy would have the shades down. Now, I get claustrophobic if I'm not sitting by a window. I look out, and I'm sure as heck not going to pull the shades down. You're paying a lot for the flight anyway. And people just take flight for granted. You know, it's beautiful out there. Enjoy it.
I'm claustrophobic too, Jim, but I'm an aisle guy. Got to have an aisle seat.
How come, though?
For room. I can't stand to have people sitting on both sides of me and that low roof above my head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm a tall guy, tall, thin.
Me too.
And I like small cars. I fold up rather nicely. And so, like I say, I mean, I've got to look out. And these people pull the shades down. They get on their mobile device.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I mean, really. I mean, think of the Wright brothers in 1903, and it's just a beautiful world out there and all that stuff. And I was
over it when I was 10. After my third flight, I'm like, oh, okay, we're in the air. Great.
You know, there was one time, and it wasn't too long ago, that I was by the window, and there was this girl sitting next to me in the center seat. And we were going into Denver, you know, and it got some turbulent. And, man, she grabbed my hand, you know. I really felt good there because I was able to console her quite a bit, you know.
They've been married for 20 years.
And, you know, I mean, she was a cute girl, so I didn't mind her grabbing my hand. So, but I don't know. I just, flight's beautiful and all that kind of thing. And,
Fascinating.
I don't know. Anything could happen like that.
Yep.
Somebody go crazy and... Well, you know, whether it's a plane or a cruise ship, you're in a bunch of metal captured with these, you know, maybe a couple hundred people on a cruise ship, 5,000, and, you know, if anything happens, there you are. So.
Yeah. So. I don't think you can open up the hatch on the bottom of a cruise ship and just let all the water in.
No, but you can drop one of those rubber boats in the water and go like hell.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, there's no land. You can't escape or anything. So enjoy it.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you much.
See, and I agree. I mean, the guy that called and couldn't sit by the window and had to have Xanax and two drinks, I'm not sure I want to be sitting next to him.
No.
Yeah.
But then again, and I know there's people out there that are afraid of flying. Mm-hmm. I know there's people that
get trained.
They get nervous. I've been through some major turbulence where I've thought, oh, this is it. This, all right. Yeah. Yes, I will have the extra beer. I'll pay the $5 because this is it.
Yeah. Let's go to Dan. Dan, on the road. How are you doing, Dan?
Oh, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good.
Good. In retrospect for this, if there had been a marshal on that plane, he probably would have shot her.
Think so?
Or he would have tased her. It depends on what he had. Tasing would have been better.
Yeah.
But if I was on the plane and could have got to her, I'd knocked her out. Stop it. But here's the thing. If she's now in custody to be evaluated, evaluate her. If she's found not able to stand trial, get her some help. If she's able to be able to stand trial and know what she did, then charge her. But the punishment should probably not be a jail sentence, but get her help. It's a win-win scenario.
I was going to say, if she can't be, you know, if she's not mentally competent to stand trial, then she probably shouldn't be in society. I mean,
well,
honestly, she can't even ride on a plane. I'm sorry. She poses a threat to others. Maybe she's not in danger for, you know, wielding a firearm or wielding a knife, but on the off chance that she had just smidged that door open just a little bit. People can tell me that the physics and mechanics all say that she can't, but it takes that one time where the odds just, it was amazing that she got it open. You know, she's a danger to others.
That's true.
That's why she's in custody, not because she tampered with the device and was lighting a cigarette. No, she was a danger to everybody on that flight, including herself.
That's right. And because of that, that's why she's taken into custody no matter which way it goes.
Yeah, and, be interesting to see what happens.
And like I said, if she is unable to stand trial or no competence or no understanding as to what she did, then get her some help.
Yep.
And get her out of society. And then again, if she understands what she did and that, charge her with the crime, fine her, whatever it is. But I also think part of the sentence shouldn't be a jail sentence, but a commitment to a institution to get help.
Should she be able to fly again?
After so long and after being evaluated, yeah. I mean, we're doing this with guns. The guy gets a minor infraction, and they tell him he can't have a gun, and they give him 2 years probation. okay. Give her for how many years probation? I don't know. You know, it depends on what the situation is, too, that we're not hearing as to what caused, like you said, something interacted with her meds or she wasn't on her meds or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Good call. All right.
All right.
Sandy is up next. We have more phone calls about crazy people on airplanes. It's 9:45.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:50. Paul, Jay, and Nate Shellman. Sandy of Meridian standing by. Sandy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm calling in about the disturbed passenger on United the other day.
Yes.
A lot of those, I used to fly charter. I used to work with a psychologist years ago and do encounter flights for people that were very, very anxious about flying and, you know, take them up in a single-engine airplane, and some of them I'd even shut the engine off for them to show them. Oh, yeah. It's good. It's good.
The hell's wrong with you? That's good?
Anyway, make a long story short, I have a lot of friends that are airline captains, and one of the newest things that's happened is people are anxious so they can get a prescription for Ambien. And then, well, let's back it up. Let's make sure this, you know, works, and they'll have a couple of drinks. And in about 15 to 20% of people that do Ambien and alcohol at the same time, it does turn into a psychotic event for them.
Oh,
and
boy.
Most of the time when you see – you know, these events of people trying to, you know, pop the door or, you know, go in and freak out in the bathroom and all that sort of stuff. I'm going to say probably 80 to 90% of the time it's that combination of Ambien and alcohol.
And they don't remember anything. I think it was an officer in Canyon County that had Ambien and had no idea. He got out of his bed, into his car, drove down the street, hit every car on the street and a tree. Had no idea. It was called the Ambien defense. Had no idea he did any of it.
Exactly right. Like I said, we focus on the airplanes, but certainly it can happen to anybody, you know, that does that. So, folks out there, if you're doing Ambien, that's great. Get some sleep, whatever. But don't follow it up with a couple of martinis. That's not a good combination, because you might come up snake eyes and be the guy that or the gal that has an event like this.
So anyway, as somebody who operates a plane, do you charge this woman with a crime or do you want her to get some help?
Yeah, you know, the crime thing is difficult. It has to kind of match the offense.
Don't try to open the door while the plane's in flight. It's not a whole lot of gray area in there. It doesn't say except crazy people.
You can get the door open because the pressure inside the airplane is greater than it is outside. You'll have people call in and say, well, the slipstream of the air flowing over the fuselage will keep that door from opening. But yeah, that's why we have, you know, 8 big stainless steel bolts that extend on every door to hold that thing in. So, and certainly the window, you know, seats over the wing, where the over the wing exits, those will come out very easily. They're designed to go out, not in.
Oh, good.
Good to know. Don't give people advice on how to do
good
that now.
Thanks, Bill.
But
good pro tip.
You know, it's tips from the pros. But it's sad that this happens, and you know the stress of flying, and some of the airlines are not quite as gentle as others in handling passengers. So, you know, the worst thing I've encountered though was a guy that got very annoyed because he had to stay in the line for the bathroom. So he went into the bathroom, took dental floss, wrapped it around the little bolt that you use to latch it shut when you're inside.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes in, does his thing, comes out. He had the dental floss wrapped around the bolt, pulled the bolt shut, and then you can't get into the bathroom.
Oh, boy.
And then you go and do it on the other side of the, you know, because typically there's one in first and two in coach. And, you know, you can hamstring an airplane for a long time, and that's not a reason to put it down in Denver and Salt Lake and, you know, get into the door. You're kind of be stuck with no bathroom for a while. So, I mean, there's lots of – we could go on and on, you know.
No, let's not.
Fair enough.
All right,
but
thanks.
Anyway, so,
thanks, Sandy. That's man, Sandy gives him bad advice.
Yeah, too much.
No, you can open this. You can lock the restroom door.
Tom emails me, should she be charged? Yes, she may be insane, but she did break the law.
Well, I think she should be charged whether or not they find her guilty is... crazy. I had to pause there. That my love could hold. Thank you, Patsy Cline, for visiting us tonight. Fly safely. It's 9:55.
Rush, starting at 10 o'clock, if you get on the air with Rush between 10 and 1, you get a free special, two free specialty pizzas.
Exactly. One from the station, one from yours truly, Paul Jarrett.
And you also get a free pizza if you get on the air with Michael Savage.
Exactly.
All from Idaho Pizza Company.
Love it.
More details. Go to 670kboi.com. Call in. Get a pizza.